Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, of course, this week we're celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday. A lot of people look forward to Thanksgiving, time they can get together with family and friends and have a nice meal. And you know, a nice meal, I guess, in some cases, depends upon who you are and what you like to eat, you know. And for some folks, it's just maybe getting a little bit better meal than what they normally get. And I was reading this morning in the news about how they were looking for some turkey fryers for the Nashville Rescue Mission because they were going to feed some of the homeless on Thanksgiving Day and the big event that goes on there. And so there's different things that we celebrate in that. But then for some other people, the big day that they're really getting ready to celebrate is Black Friday. They just can't wait for those stores to open their doors to let them in, and they can shop, 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 and they can run over people and drive each other crazy. You know, I don't go to Black Friday sales. I went one time, and I decided I didn't really want to ever go again. And one place, I waited in line for something. We got in there, and we were, about the 20th people in line, something like that. The item we were looking for was all sold out by the time we got in the door. Now, that's just unbelievable. They probably only had one to start with, but some people, they look forward to that. You know, I got to go shop, shop, shop. And that's their big thing. But, you know, Thanksgiving started out as a holiday, not really as a holiday, but in the United States back in the early 1600s in the celebration at Plymouth, Massachusetts. And there they were giving thanks for the good harvest that they had just had. And, of course, you can go on the Internet and you can read about the history of Thanksgiving and some of the things that took place. And some other countries also celebrate Thanksgiving, though not necessarily on the same day that we do. I understand Canada has their version of it, and a couple of other countries do. And theirs are maybe a little bit earlier and possibly a little bit later. But some people seem to feel that, well, this is our one big day of the year to be thankful. I can groan and complain and mumble and grumble 364 days of the year, but on one of those days, I'll be thankful. I might even smile. That's just the way some folks are. And we find it hard sometimes to be thankful. Have you ever run into a person, and I'm sure probably have, somebody that seemed to never be thankful for anything? All they wanted to do was mumble, grumble, and complain. I'm sure we've all run into some people like that. So are we to celebrate it just one day of the year? Not really, because the Bible tells us in Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So the Bible tells us, really, we're supposed to be thankful 365 days of the year. And if it's a leap year, make that 366 days of the year. We are to be thankful every day. But I know some wake up in the morning and it's time to get up. And there is all the way till it's time to go to bed. And then they're grumbling because it's time to go to bed. You know, if you look around, you can find plenty of things to grumble about. Because there's all sorts of stuff that goes on in the world that can aggravate you, make you angry, upset you, tick you off, all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But you know what? If we just look around maybe just a little bit deeper or a little bit further, we can always find something to be thankful for. I'm thankful today on behalf of this congregation for this facility that God's provided us with 2 years ago. And how much better it is than where we were at. And even though we do track leaves in when it's raining outside and stuff like that, you know, I'm still thankful that we can, that we've got the place to do it at. Because there are some congregations today that are meeting in little mud huts somewhere.
We were close to that.
And yeah, I remember the first time Mary and I went to Guyana, and they took us to this one church, and we got there, and I looked at the place, and I said, thought to myself, how in the world can they possibly have church in this place? It looks like a chicken coop. And we walked in the building. One single solitary light bulb of about 100 watts. One of those clear type that really glares, hanging from the ceiling. Guy playing electric guitar, but no amplifier. You know, and a microphone that the cover on the end of it by the element was broken off, and all you had was the element taped up there. And... but you know what? They were thankful for what they had. And they blessed God for what they had. And people came out, and maybe they couldn't get in and get a seat, so they poked their heads in through the windows and saw to see what was going on and to participate in the worship service. We here in America, even while we've got problems, have reason to be thankful. Especially as Christians, we have reasons to be thankful for all that God has blessed us with and all that God has done for us. We're to be thankful for our heaven to our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Give thanks in all things. And I know somebody's going to say, yeah, that's kind of hard to do sometimes. You know, driving down the highway and on a two-lane road in the middle of nowhere and your tire blows out, how are you going to be thankful for that? I think I told this once here in church several years ago. I had stopped at a McDonald's alongside the interstate, and I was in a hurry to get where I was going. I was going to run in and get my hamburger and my Dr. Pepper and rush back out and leave. And you've probably all experienced this at some time and in some place. There was a lady with two kids in front of me in the line. And they hadn't even looked at that menu board until they got up to be the ones waited on. Well, what do you want? Well, I don't know. And it went that way with all three of them, the lady and the two kids. I'm there about ready to pull my hair out. You know, please, just I want to order my hamburger and go. Finally, I got my turn. I got my hamburger. I got back out in my vehicle, and I took off, and I got back on the interstate, and traffic came to a stop. There had been a horrific accident just past the off-ramp I had gotten off at to go to the McDonald's. And I thought, God, thank you. Because I got delayed. Because I could have very possibly have been involved in that accident. And I've had it happen before where, for some reason, we got delayed or we got rerouted or something. And there was a horrific accident or something that took place that we would have been there about the same time it happened. And I said, thank you, God, for taking care of me. So some of these times, the things that seem to aggravate us and get on our nerves and tick us off and make us want to pull our hair out is God intervening on our behalf and keeping us out of a world of trouble.
Amen.
Keeping us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So even when something like that happens, give thanks to God. And I try to now, when something like that happens, look at, well, God, I'm not quite sure what you're keeping me out of, but I'm thankful you're keeping me out of it. You know, because He works out all things to our good. We're to be thankful for one another. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. as we give our duties to God, is to give thanks for all the things that He's done for us, everything that He's done. And He has blessed us so immensely. Did you ever just stop and think, where were you born? Now, I'm not asking for the particular city or state, but all of us that were here today were born in a country called America. And that alone is reason to be thankful. Even though our nation and our country has some terrible problems today, we are still one of the most blessed places on planet Earth.
Amen.
So being born here alone is reason to be thankful every morning when you get up. Because you could have been born in the backside of some jungle halfway around the world where they're still living in mud huts and still eating grasshoppers. And I got a real good feeling that none of us here would like to have had that life, you know. So we've been blessed alone by the fact that we were born in America. God has blessed us. He's given us opportunities. We can go home and sleep, most of us anyway, and everybody here in this congregation can go home and sleep in a warm bed at night. On that cold winter night, you've got a nice warm place to go home and sleep. And I know there are folks out there that don't have that. But yet we have facilities that are open to them that they could go to. Some choose not to. But we're to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Being thankful is part of our service to God. You see, in the Old Testament, the priests did their service in the temple. But the Bible tells in Revelation 1:6 that He has made us kings and priests unto God, and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us priests unto Him, and we are to do our service to God. If you were to go to a church and the pastor was grouchy, cantankerous, I hope nobody's saying that about me. Hard to get along with. Would you really want to go there? Not likely. You're trying to be a Christian example, doing your service to God. And you're grouchy and cantankerous and hard to get along with. Is that going to make people want to serve Jesus Christ? They're going to look at you and say, if that's what it's all about, man, I'm sure I don't want it because I feel I'm living a better life. And there are people out there that will tell you, well, I'm living a better life than most Christians are because they have been hurt probably by somebody that was like that, that said they were a Christian. We are to live a life that's pleasing unto God, and show our thanks to God. And if we give thanks, you know, when you start to give thanks for something, it just kind of makes you feel better, you know, at how God, you've been blessed, you know. You get some nice birthday present. Do you look at it and say, oh, well, throw it in the floor? No, most of the time you say, thank you. Well, God has given us more than some fancy birthday present. He has given us eternal life. And we need to be thankful. Just that one thing alone should give us all the thanks that we need to have every day. And what God has done for us. He has blessed us so much. Revelations 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As a Christian, we're told we're going to reign with him. You know, we can see programs on television, and we can see the news, and we can see how things go on in some other countries, especially ones that have kings and queens and stuff like that, and royalty and how they're treated. And unfortunately, in America, we have people that think they're royalty. And in my book, they're the furthest thing from it. You know, they sure don't act like it. But you watch how the ceremonies and all that goes on with it and the things that happen there. And, you know, well, I'm so-and-so, and I'm related to so-and-so who's related to so-and-so. You know, I tell people today, you know, I have several famous people in my ancestry. George Washington, okay, so his last name was Unger, and he's another one whose last name was Pitts. And Napoleon Bonaparte, you know, of course, his last name was Elliot, you know. And we can think that we're somebody because of who we're related to, you know. And I got news, all three of those I just mentioned, well, mentioning their name and a buck will get me a Dr. Pepper at McDonald's, you know. But there are some people who feel that they've got to have a... You are royalty, though. Royalty that is beyond anything this world has to offer. Because you're a child of God. You're part of the family of God. Amen. You're a joint heir, we're told. We are part of God's family. And I know there are some people out there that say, well, it means nothing because there is no God. Well, someday they're going to find out the truth. But we are part of the family of the Creator of all that exists. Think about that. And for people that like to name drop, you know, well, I'm related to so-and-so. I'm part of God's family. Try to top that one. You're part of God's family. Be thankful for that. As a Christian, you are part of God's family. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 tells us that as we are, thankfulness is one of the things we're supposed to be doing. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What do we need to be thankful for most of all? Well, I said a while ago that one of the things we need to be thankful for is the fact that God loved us so much that He provided a salvation for us. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching, as it says in one translation, which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, became the servants of righteousness. You were made free from sin. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I know we look around and we see that sweet little baby that's maybe just a few hours old even sometimes. And we look at them and they're so innocent, but they were still born into sin. Mm-hmm. And as they grow older, they need to have salvation come into their heart. They need Jesus Christ in their heart. And God loved us enough that He made a way to escape from that sin that came upon mankind. I know some folks say, well, it's just not fair. You ever run into something, well, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. Everything you tell them, that's not fair. Well, there's a lot of things out in the world that aren't fair. But God has provided the answer.
Amen.
God has provided the answer. Romans 5:12 says, I want to read this one from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, here's how it works. It was through one individual that sin entered into the world. And through sin, death, and in this way, death passed through to the whole human race, insomuch as everyone sinned. You're born in sin. Not only physical deaths, but spiritual death entered into the world. Romans 5, 8 through 11 says, "But God demonstrated His own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. Therefore, since we have now come to be considered righteous by means of His bloody sacrificial death, how much more will we be delivered through Him from the anger of God's judgment? For if we were reconciled with God through His Son's death when we were enemies, how much more will we be delivered by His life now that we are reconciled? And not only will we be delivered in the future, but we are boasting about God right now because He has acted through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, through whom we have already received that reconciliation." We become reconciled with God. Let's go back just a moment to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve. Bible tells us that God walked with them in the cool of the day. They had a relationship that was beyond anything we can imagine that they had. But because of sin entering into the world, that relationship was broken. Sometimes in our own personal lives, we have relationships. Relationships get broken. Friendships get broken, things like that. And sometimes they're not repairable. But God made a way for our broken relationship with Him to be repaired. And that was by sending His Son to die on the cross, to be the forgiveness for our sin, to be the means by which we could be reconciled and brought back into the family. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And in the complete Jewish Bible, it reads, "gave His only and unique Son." There is no other Son like Him. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world that He should condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That baby that was born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago wasn't just an ordinary baby. And I know there are some out there that say, "Oh, well, he's just like any other person. He grew up to be a great teacher, and he grew up to be even was a prophet and things like that." Yes, he was a teacher. He was a prophet. But he was more than that, because he was God's Son. He wasn't Joseph's son, even though some might have called him the son of Joseph. He was God's Son. And being God's Son, only He had the ability to pay the price for our sins. Isaiah 7:14 says, "For therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. And because of what was done on the cross of Calvary, we need to be thankful, because we now have God with us. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary washes away the sin that's in our life, we now have God with us. Think about it. Oh, the times might get tough, and sometimes people turn against you. Sometimes it seems like your whole world is about to collapse. But if you're a Christian, God is with you. And that's the most important thing there is. God is with you. No matter what the devil can throw against you, no matter what the world can throw against you, no matter what comes into your life, God is with you. And guess what? If God is with you, You can't lose. You can't lose. Because in the scope of eternity, you are on the winning side. And if there are those that are listening to me today, especially by the internet or other means, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'd like to invite you today to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. It's very simple, really, just Jesus. I accept you as my Savior. I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. And I ask you to come into my heart and life right now. Cleanse me from my sin. And you know what? He'll do it. You ask him in all sincerity, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he will come into your heart and into your life. Father, today I thank you for your blessings. And Father, this week, as we here in America have set aside a day that we call Thanksgiving and we celebrate, as we are supposed to be celebrating, being thankful for all that we've been blessed with, help us as Christians to celebrate even more, knowing that we are thankful for more than what has been blessed with here in material things, but we are blessed with having a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I give you praise and I give you glory, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.